The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hello.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Foundation. In this episode, following the death of his fiancée, Susan Ross, at the end of the previous season, George finds himself tasked with being on the board of directors at a foundation dedicated to her memory. Meanwhile, Kramer inspires Elaine to take charge after Jay Peterman abandons his company and runs off to Myanmar, or Burma. Just a funny plot point. And Jerry discovers that his and George's severed engagements make them more attractive to women. What do you think of this episode?
So this is the first episode in which Larry David is no longer executive producer. Jerry Seinfeld is.
Okay.
From this point on, from this point until the series ends, I feel like I can sense that Larry David's presence is not around as much. I do enjoy the episode. I think that the episode is has some fun bits to it, but it's not like laugh out loud funny. You know what I mean?
It's
just a pretty standard episode of Seinfeld.
I think that the last two seasons are two of the worst seasons of the entire series.
Well, Larry David not being there really does impact that.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it doesn't largely work, but they have the most forgettable episodes. Like I'm thinking about what else is coming up. I can't really remember any of this season, like, where I'm like, oh, yeah, in season 8, it's like, this is super crazy. Like, season, like, 5 or 6 are, like, the absolute pinnacle seasons where just, like, everything is running on all cylinders. This season, you're like, yeah, there's a couple banger moments, but, like, I'd have to look over it again, but I don't feel like there's any, like, crazy big episodes that I was like, these are the best, you know, like.
No, like, huge episodes, but, like, there are little things here and there that you remember, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at a list of the episode titles, the little kicks. You know what that is.
Yeah, right? Of course. You know the Bizarro Jerry is, like, a pretty good episode.
Right. But off the top of your head, you don't know what the Fatigues is.
No.
Right? Like, I'm
the Chicken Roaster is the Chicken Roaster is a classic episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I thought this was a pretty standard, you know, just like real regular ass episode of Seinfeld. Had some funny moments, but nothing that really blew me away.
Right. Right. So, yeah, Larry is definitely missed. I would say he is definitely missed. So the episode opens with, George, Jerry, and Susan's parents, at her gravestone. And all George can really mention is how much, like, the stone is really amazing because he doesn't really have anything to say because he doesn't really give a shit. And of course, Jerry has almost nothing to say because he is also a person who is dead inside and just doesn't really give a fuck about much. Susan's parents are her mom is a drunk and her dad is just kind of a dick.
Funny little thing about that headstone. The date of her death is the actual date that the episode aired when she died.
When
the episode that we're talking about now originally aired, it's, you know, over the summer. It was the 3 months during the summer.
Right.
So it's just like, it's, They're kind of doing a 24 thing, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right, right.
All this shit happened in real time. Mm-hmm. It's just a little thing that if you're paying attention, you get something out of it. But
nice.
But yeah, like I don't. These people are scumbags. These people are horrible, right? Yeah. Like, he's talking about how the Yankees swept the Orioles,
Right, when he yeah, when he goes and talks to Susan's grave alone.
Yeah, because he you know, he didn't he never really loved this woman, you know. Like no, she was just kind did. Of a means he was a means she was a means to an end, right? Like, I don't want to die alone. Like, he got into this relationship with this woman for the most selfish of reasons. Because he didn't want to die alone, right?
Right. Well, yeah, because of the pack that he made with Jerry. Like, that's it. Like, and then he suddenly was like, "Yeah, she'll do," kind of. And then he ran past some doves on a pier, and then that that was it. So yeah, it is kind of fucked up. So George is kind of coming to this conclusion that, like, yeah, this is all over now. I can Summer of George. I'm back. Like, yeah, I can do what I want. I mourn those 3 months in the summer. It's easy to mourn in the wintertime, Jerry. I did the summer months. Like, okay, it's warm outside. So he's lamenting about that. And, you know, Jerry is talking about how he told Susan's parents, like, you know, we don't have to think of her as really dead because, you know, she lives on in our memories. And he was just quoting Wrath of Khan. Like, he was just quoting fucking Star Trek, because he doesn't actually have any real feelings. So more on that later. So Kramer comes in and he's like, yeah, I'm going down to martial arts class. And he's like, yeah, I'm dominating. I'm the class champion. And he's like, yeah, okay. And Kramer's like, yeah, karate, as he calls it, instead of karate. He's like, it's not just about punching and kicking. And he's like, it's all about, like, this, the mind and, like, the spiritual essence and all this other bullshit.
Yeah, all the bullshit that those fucking strip mall dojo masters try to fucking tell you when they want to bilk you out of a monthly charge because your kids are weak, right? Like,
at your local Kempo karate.
Right, at your Kim's karate.
Oh, Kim's, wow. Kim's karate, that's a deep cut for Baltimore, dude. Kim's karate. That's true. Is Kim's karate still around?
Oh, I have. I would imagine not. I would imagine. I think it went the way of Sonny Surplus.
Hey, wow. Nah, yo. Kim's karate is still around, dude. Still around. Yes, it is. That's crazy. It's in Glen Burnie, man.
It's funny because Kim, I'm assuming, is a surname. And that is usually for stereotypically for Koreans, but Koreans don't normally teach. Stereotypically, they don't teach a Japanese martial art like karate. They teach Taekwondo.
Kim's karate has Taekwondo as well. I'm looking it up. You can do either one. It's Kim's Karate and Learning Center.
Kim's Karate. Wow. I remember the commercials, man.
Yo, they got the same logo, everything. Like, this shit has not changed. That is wild. Wow. Like, yeah, they used to rock. I mean, they had, like, mad places, too. Like, I think my mom took me to a Kim's Karate once. Like, I was gonna do Kim's Karate. And I think my black mom was like, we can't afford this. And so I did one lesson, and, like, right, that was a wrap. It was like, nah, you good. Like, you learn how to kick? You got it? All right. That's the end of it. Get off that goddamn mat. We can't afford this.
Did you break a board?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. They didn't teach you the trick of how you gotta punch it against the grain.
Yeah, and it's also balsa wood, and it's right. So it might as well be like a sheet of paper. So yeah, Kramer's all about, like, how karate helped him and all this other fucking horseshit, right? And so Jerry's like, yeah, when I gotta go, and when I get back, I don't want to see you, like, here. And he's like mimicking Kramer, or he's like, or anywhere, like how he was, like, doing, like, the aura or whatever fucking spiritual bullshit he was talking about with karate. Meanwhile, he's off to pick up Elaine, who's been gone for like 6 weeks. Touring Mexico for the J.P. Uterman catalog. And him and Elaine end up at Monk's, of course, and they're talking. And she's like, what happened to your fiancé? Like, And he's like, oh, right, right, right. He's like, and so they get like, you get like a little flashback to the two of them breaking up. Apparently they just were sitting there at Monk's one day and they just leaned over to each other and was like, I hate you. And like, okay, that's it. Like, we're done. It was the world's first totally mutual breakup.
You got any good breakup stories?
Good breakup stories. I've been broken up with.
Have you broken up with someone?
I think we've just like kind of had a conversation. It was like, all right, this is done. But like,
so it was something similar to this.
No, this is unprecedented. The two of them are just like fuck off at the same time. But no, I mean, I hadn't been in that many like long term serious relationships that like need a like, we gotta have a conversation about it type of thing. I normally, if people I was just like casually dating that I didn't want to see anymore, like they would call me and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like that's like that, they're like, no. Or I just won't pick up. It's just like you met the diva, right? I felt like, yeah. I was getting used. Like, you know, it's like that song, like, you know, like use me till you use me up, right? And it's just like, yeah, yeah. I was fine with it for a while, right? Like I was willfully ignorant. And then like I just had like a revelation one day. I'm like, what the fuck am I really getting out of this? Like, not enough makeout sessions, I might add. So I was like, all right. And then, like, she called me one day, and I was like, nah, I'm good. And I just, like...
That is the most Seinfeld thing.
It's like, nah, I'm good.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, hey, you wanna go out and, like, go do something? I was like, nah, I'm good. And then I just, like, never picked up again. I was just like... I'm good. So yeah, that was just kind of my idea. Like, nah, fuck it.
That's hilarious to me.
What about you?
Nah, people know the my big breakup story.
Yeah, that's a doozy.
you can't really top. You know, I don't want to be married to you anymore, and I'm off to PAX. Right? You can't really top that.
Telling you, man, you got to go to PAX East one time to redeem your name.
Well, if it's still in Boston, nah, fuck nah. That.
I mean, that's not really worth it. Yeah, you go to PAX West.
I would love to go to PAX West. I love the West Coast.
Is PAX still a thing?
I have no idea. I have no idea if PAX is still a thing.
Was that Penny Arcade Expo?
Yeah, I've been twice, but it was cool. But I can't do all that convention shit anymore. Any other breakups? There was this one woman that I went on like one date with, and I called her up, and after the date, I thought the date went like okay, but I called her up, and she was straight up. She was just like, "Hey, you know, I'm not really feeling this," and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, let me know if you change your mind."
Right? You didn't. Wow. You know what? The saddest part about that interaction is I thought you were a real Baltimorean. You ain't hit her with the fuck you, dude, bitch.
Like, I did not. And you know what? She actually thanked me for not doing something like that.
Yeah, like not being a real piece of shit. Like, yeah, I'm an adult. Wow. Like.
Right, like, no, I'm not gonna, like, for what?
Yeah, this is the weirdest thing. Like, hey, can I get your number? No, I got a boyfriend. Well, fuck you, then, bitch. Like, god damn, that's like 0 to 60. Good lord, I never liked you. Like, I'm pretty sure you did. It was 8 seconds ago. That's a classic Baltimore dude shit. Like, you gotta yell it from across the street.
Like, right, right. Trying to embarrass her, right?
Yeah, because you look totally reasonable yelling that at someone. Yeah, 100% reasonable. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of any other ones, like from like just dating. I mean, I definitely got pissed at the girl who made me go watch Watchmen and didn't like it. I was like, yo, and people know that story. I was like, you should have read the damn book. And then I just walked away and I quite literally stopped maybe 20 feet away from her and deleted her number from my phone. Like, I was like, no, you know, like this, that was a waste of time. And I guess my comment probably didn't really invoke a lot of like, I want to talk to that guy again. I get it. Oh, I get it.
Shit.
I get that. I was okay, and I was okay with that. Like, it was fine.
I mean, sure. I would think so, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've never been angrier on a date than sitting and watching Watchmen for like the third time I had seen it with somebody. I was like, yo, this movie is not what you think. Have you read the book? Like, just saying, it's not exactly what you think it is. All right. All right. Like, I feel like you're not stuck on this date with me. Like, or I'm not stuck on this date with you. You're stuck on this date with me. Like, it's like, that's what it felt like. It was horrible. But yeah, I don't have any like other. I did have this girl who stopped talking to me on the phone. We talked once or twice. She was crazy. Like, clearly, who said, I think I told this on the show once. I talked to her on the phone once. She was a bit weird and was like, why would I ever get a vasectomy? And I was like, like, if I didn't want to have any more kids, like, I would. And she was like, nah, I don't believe in that. Because, like, what if you just want to or whatever? I was like, that's what family planning is. And I was like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, I just chalked it up. Like, oh, she's from D.C. She's not that bright. And I'm just like, just relax. But then, you know, she called me. Or, like, I called her, like, a day or two later. And, like, we were going to, like, set up a date. And I was like, hey, how's it going or whatever? Like, things were fine. Like, they seemed to end fine. And she was like, why did you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't. And she was like, yes, you did. And you said you wanted to do X, Y, and Z. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She was like, you left me a voicemail. I was like, play the voicemail. That's like, whoever it is, it's not me. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she was like, yeah, you said that you wanted to do X, Y, and Z to me. I was like, yo, that was not me. Like, you know, and like, it's like the Dave Chappelle skit. Like, you can't convince somebody you didn't do something. Like, you can't prove a negative, right? That's infuriating. Like, it'll drive you crazy. And I was like, bitch, I didn't say that. Like, that's how you feel. Like, I was like, yo, I didn't do that. Like, yo, you're an insane, but she was straight up crazy. Like, she was straight up crazy. So I'm glad it didn't persist because I would have died. Like, I would have never done the shows because she would have knifed me at some point on a date for no reason at all. She was nuts. So if you ever run into her on, I don't know, Black People Meet or whatever, I think that's where I met her, which is a wild website, by the way.
Well, first of all, you went to blackpeoplemeet.com. I'm like, nah, yo, nah, nah. I mean, I love my people and all, but like, so y'all are trifling, yo. Y'all are trifling.
Did I tell you the first person I actually met on there was a white chick? She messaged me because she was, I mean, that was her preference.
She's looking for some black dick. Look, that sounds like a bright woman.
She got it. She got it. She got what she was looking for. That's, I was like, she was like, yeah, I've never really dated white dudes. I was like, I get that. I get it. Anyway, shall we continue? It's fucking hilarious. Yeah. That was a wild website back in the day. It was the Tinder. It was the Black Tinder of its time.
Yeah. once again, Black people ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we invented that shit.
We invented that shit. Black, and then, you know, other oppressed people, they have their own versions, and they do.
There's there's Asian people meet. There's. I don't know if it's a white people meet. That seems unacceptable, I mean, that's to me.
Literally every.
Yeah, that's Match. Right. That's eHarmony. Like, that's all of those. But
thank you very much.
Same, actually. But, like, sort of. But, and then there was, like, I remember seeing advertisements. It was, like mixed, like, or not mixed. It was, like people only looking to date interracially. I forget what it was called. Like
mulatto meetup? Like, what?
Like, no, like, Black people who only want to meet white people, or white people who only want to meet Black people, or, like, basically like crossthestreams.net or whatever the fuck it was. But like, yeah, it was only for people who wanted to do interracial dating, which I think is
the black and white cookie.com.
Right, right, right. Like, you got a little bit of Farrakhan and David Duke in there. That's just wild to me. I was like, that seems strange. Like, that just seems strange. Like, it feels, I'm going to be a little bit of a dick here. Feels like that'd be a little bit easy pickings for some people. I'm just saying. Again, you just heard my story from Black People Meet. I'm just saying. All right. So let's continue on. Jay Peterman, who was a general crazy person, we cut to him. He's having a meeting with Elaine and her coworkers, and they're trying to pitch ideas. And she's, you know, this one guy's like pitching. He's like reading a very Jay Peterman catalog entry. And he's like, and Jay Peterman's like, what is this even for? And he's like, washcloth. And he's like, no washcloths. Like, I'm not doing this. And Elaine is like giving her, her pitch. And it's like, it's the urban sombrero. And he's like, no. It's like, and then he starts knocking fruit off of his desk. No pears, no apples. Where's my pineapple? And so he just like, he's burnt out. And so he just leaves and he just goes to Burma and he bounces and leaves the company, to Elaine to run.
Elaine, that's crazy. Elaine at this point, she's talking to Jerry and she's like, I don't know if I can do this, right? Like, and Jerry's, I don't think he can, like, basically, right? Like, yeah, you're right. You should go with that gut feeling. Yeah. And then here comes Kramer, high on his martial arts kick and
karate.
And he psychs Elaine up. She's like, hey, look, when I started karate, I was terrible. But now I'm the head of the class, right? Like I'm the class champion. I am dominating in karate. If I can dominate something that I thought I was going to be terrible at, you can dominate something that you thought you were going to be terrible at. And she gets psyched up, right? And she's like, yeah, let's fucking do this, right? And she goes. And then Kramer's talking to Jerry. And then a little kid comes in and is in a gi, and he's like, hey, Mr. Kramer, let's roll. And then Jerry's like, oh, I forget what he said.
He said, your classes at the same time?
Yeah, he's like, your classes at the same time with this little kid? And he's like, we're in the same class. Nigga, Kramer is fighting children.
That shit's funny.
Like, it is, yo. It just is. It's one of the funniest things. I'm very hard on Kramer, but when Kramer is giving a funny story, like it's just funny. Like Michael Richards really fucking goes for it, and it's hilarious. Like just the concept of it, right? Like especially given that Kramer is like a giant.
Right, he's like he's already a tall guy to begin with. Just like punching kids in the face is just hilarious to me. And he's acting like a kid. Like he's in the station wagon with the other kids, and they're like, "Mom, can we stop and get ice cream afterwards? Please." And he's like, "Yeah, please. Come on, please." And they're like, "All right. Yeah." All excited. Like he's drinking a juice box. Like the shit is just ridiculous. We come back to Elaine is running Jay Peterman now, and she's being like a real piece of shit boss too. She's like, all right, I need four ideas by 6 o'clock from each of you. You know what? I need six ideas from all of you by 4 o'clock. Like, go. Like she's just being just absolute ridiculous. Then we see Kramer in class just like beating up kids.
Wonderful bit of physical comedy from Kramer and these children.
Yeah, absolutely.
At one point, like Kramer is like doing like a pile driver. Right on
the one kid. He's like shaking change loose from a nerd.
And the idea of this sensei just standing by is just like, yeah, this is totally normal.
Yep. Same skill level.
It's hilarious to me.
Same skill level, which is just fucking hilarious. A grown ass man versus little kids. So then we see George at home, shirtless, eating a block of cheese. Very weird. Or is it? And Susan's parents come over and they're like, hey, you know, we decided to start this foundation, because of what your friend Jerry said, you know, that, you know, about preserving Susan's memory. And we want you to be the head of the board or be on the board. And he's just like, what? Like, I don't want to do that. But he has to, cause he has to, you know, he has to be there and pretend that he gives a fuck about Susan. So they're like, oh, don't worry. It won't take up too much of your schedule. It will revolve around your schedule. Everything will be fine. Evenings, weekends, you know, whatever. And so like that's where that is. George goes to see Jerry at Monk's and he's like, hey, Wrath of Khan, huh? Like that's what you went with, right? And Jerry, you know, tells him the line again or whatever, and George explains that they now want this foundation because of him. And as George is explaining it nicely, he pulls out the mustard and he just squeezes it right into Jerry's coffee and stirs it around as a perfect physical comedy fuck you. which was just like seamless. Absolutely seamless. And Jerry's like, that's fine. You're on the board of directors. Look at you.
Board of directors. Look at you. It's yeah. Just like, yo, you fucked me, yo.
Yeah.
You ruined my life.
And so they do have this like pretty great moment of George, like the camera swinging up and being over top of George a la, you know, the Wrath of Khan with Captain Kirk. And he's just like, Khan, which is just fucking awesome. He just freaks out. It's pretty perfect. That's a classic Star Trek moment, and it's a pretty classic Seinfeld moment. I loved it. And then George is at the meeting, and he finds out all this money that her family had.
The picture of Susan, the forehead on that woman is outrageous. Like, if you, I mean, it is, I can't imagine that woman's head was, in fact, that large. She looks like looks like the leader. She looks like she's fighting the Hulk, dude.
Oh, poor Susan. Yeah. So then he meets Wick Thacker, and he's like the head of the board, and he's like, "All right, well, you know, here's all the shit you would have had if you had married her, and but you didn't. You would have had this huge townhouse. You would have had." All of this money and like her doll collection, which is worth like $2.5 million and all this crazy shit he would have had. But alas, it didn't. He was so close. And that's what that's like the nature of George's character is like, he's so close to making it and he's just never quite there.
This set is the same set that is used for, Mr. Pitt's office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Just a bit of useless Seinfeld trivia there.
Mr. Pitt.
If that's what you want. Earlier in the episode, Jerry met with Mulva, whose name is
Dolores.
Whose name is, yeah, her name is something that rhymes with part of the female anatomy. And Jerry didn't remember it. So he said, Mulva? which is just still funny to me.
I mean, look, I'll admit when I first saw that episode, I didn't know what the name was either. Like I couldn't think of what it was. And it was like Dolores. Right. I was like, oh, got it.
Right. So
that's not a real thing, right? Like that's not real.
No, get out of here. Dolores.
women just wouldn't make that up. Oh, there's a magical part that gets them off. Not real. Get out of here.
Yeah, no. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's all about outward.
They're impossible to satisfy.
Yeah, no. It's never happened.
That's what I have determined. So he earlier he met with Mulva, and she was like, "Hey, maybe we should grab a coffee," and they were trying to figure out like, "Hey, what gives?" And they come to the realization that like they've shown that they can commit, the guys that they can commit, because they were in relationships that led to engagements.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll go out with this woman again, and you know, it'll give me a second chance. It's an opening for all the women out on the street. Like they put feelers out. Hey, Jerry made a commitment. He can commit, ladies. Let's
snatch him up. It's happening,
right?
Right.
And she, Mulva's like, so what did you, so who, you know, tell me about the breakup. And Jerry's like, 100% mutual. It was the first of its kind. We both mutually agreed that this isn't going to work. And she's like, that's bullshit. Somebody.
Yeah, I'm not buying that at all.
Right. Like, get out of here, man. And he's like, no, it's the world's first. And she's just like, you know, I thought you matured and I'm getting out of here. Right.
Do you think there can be an actual breakup like Jerry's or no?
No. Get out of here. Somebody, not like a real relationship, right? Like not an engagement.
Right? No. I think that's not impossible.
Like that's ridiculous, right? An entanglement maybe, but not an engagement.
An entanglement.
Like, because if it's just like an entanglement, like we both know why we're here, and then we can just kind of, you know, leave.
Right.
But if it's an engagement, nah, yo, somebody won and somebody lost. You know what
I don't
mean?
Even know that I would say it's win or lose, but somebody doesn't want that to happen, and somebody definitely does want that to happen.
Yeah. And so no, that's bullshit.
So okay, hold on. I want to dig in slightly deeper on this just for a moment. Mm-hmm. Did you in your heart of hearts? Right, it's just me and you talking, right? This, no one else is listening.
Yeah,
it's just
somebody pays for this,
right? Not enough people. In your heart of hearts, did you kind of want it to happen? Did you kind of want the breakup to happen?
I can't say 100% yes, because I thought I loved that girl. You know what I mean?
And you did. I'm sure you did.
Right. That's why I asked her to marry me. Right.
Right.
And I thought that whatever, you know, issues could be worked through.
Right.
Because that's the mentality that you probably should have going Absolutely. Into a marriage.
Yeah. Marriage is work.
Right. It is. So at the time, no. But in retrospect, you know, hindsight being 20/20 and all. It was literally the best thing for both of us.
Oh, 100%.
At least it was for me. I talked to her the other day via video games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I talked to her the other. It was not like 2 weeks ago, and they seem to be doing all right.
She married?
But oh, I ain't ask all that. I doubt it. Okay. I doubt it. But I talked to her friend, you know, the friend who lives in like the Eastern Shore now. And, I talked to her and we were just shooting the shit, man. And then I said, I gotta go, 'cause my son just woke up and they were like, oh, it's so cute and all. So, but yeah, at the time I thought, you know, at the time I wasn't hoping or anything like that, that it would break up, that we would break up or it would fail. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I've seen my parents go through some shit and they stuck it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, she came from a divorced home and she probably just didn't want, if she, you know, if she saw something, she probably just wanted to cut bait,
It was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Look, I think it was the best move ever. Like,
yeah, it was.
I was like, I remember when you called me, you're like, hey, this is happening. I was like, oh no, man. That's the worst. All right. I'm on my way. Let's fucking do this. Pack your shit, son. Let's go. Yeah, I was definitely very brokenhearted, as you can imagine. I was like, fuck, yes. I think I was at work when you called me. And you were like, yo, this is happening. I was like, all right. And I left work. I was like, I'm going to take the day. I'm out. Like, nah, yo. Nah, fuck that. You just leave my man. You go to PAX East? Like, nah, yo, come on. Nah. And then, like, helped you move with that other weird guy.
Oh, yeah, Andre. That nigga's crazy. Yeah, he kind of is. He's not the type of person that I would hang out with.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, he said some shit that day. I was like, okay, wow. You're married? That's weird. You sure? Because it don't feel like y'all. Are you sure about that?
He was, but he wasn't faithful at the time, so surprise, surprise.
No, he wasn't. God damn. Dude was just living. He was out there, boy. He was all the way out there. Then we see a scene of Jerry talking to women at the diner, trying to ask them, is he more or less likable? If his, you know, he's like running scenarios, like if his girlfriend, you know, cheated on him, does that make him more desirable or less desirable? And one woman is like, more. Another woman's like, less. You couldn't keep your woman around, punk bitch. Then we see Kramer get beat up in an alley by all the kids in his karate class after they see Elaine come in and push him down for not mentioning that he was fighting kids that helped her confidence. So the kids were like, he's vulnerable. Let's beat his ass in the alley. And they did. You're getting beat up by a bunch of like third graders is wild. How many third graders do you think you could take on at one time?
At one time, I mean, demographics come into play. I hate to be a racist, but demographics come into play, right? If it's a bunch of white kids, y'all could take on, like, no joke, I could take on like 7 or 8 of them, right? if they black, I ain't fucking with black kids, yo.
Nah, you in a world of trouble, dude.
I ain't fucking with black kids. I ain't fucking with
Latin kids either.
Hispanic or Latin kids. Nah. I'm not fucking with them, yo. I'm not fucking with them. And if it's like Asian kids, like East, South, you know, I feel like I could probably take maybe 5, right?
I'm going to let my racism rear its ugly head here. Asian kids? East Asian? 2. 2, yo. Nah, yo. Because one of them's a math nerd, and the other one is Bruce Lee Jr. Like, knock it off. Like, nah, fuck that. Nah, yo, no. No way. White kids, I'd punch, like, the closest to medium-sized kid I could find, right? I'd punch him, knock him out. And I'd grab him by his legs and I would use him as a weapon against the other kids. That's what I would
just do. Just do a spin. And just spin him around and shit.
Like the scene from The Matrix 2 where he just like, he throws one of the Smiths into him. And it makes a bowling ball, like a bowling alley noise. That's what I would do. That's the goal. You just knock out one and use him as a weapon against the other ones. Meanwhile, George is stuck at the foundation, and like Jerry calls him there and he's like, come on, man, I figured it out. You know, being a widower, that's the best play. Like we can just, there's chicks down here, man. They're eating cheese. It's going to be awesome. Like, come on down. And George is like, yeah, I can't go because I'm stuck at the foundation. And so that's his lot in life. And there it is. That is the end of the episode.
There you go. The little credit stinger Elena's on the train and she's overhearing two men talk about the fact that they bought the urban sombrero, which is Elaine's stupid idea. Yeah. And these stupid men bought it and were using it and got caught using it. And it's just like, well, you're fired because you're taking a fucking siesta at your job. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Stupid Jay Pendleton. Yeah, I love that. That these two white guys were walking around with sombreros. Yeah, that doesn't look offensive at all. Can non-black people, or excuse me, can non-Latin people wear sombreros? I feel like that's not cool, right?
I mean, look, you can wear what you want to wear, right? You just gotta brace for impact.
I'm gonna throw that question out there to some of our Latin listeners. Like, Leonardo, if I'm rocking a sombrero and I'm just walking down the street, I just got my headphones in, you know, I'm listening to music, I'm chilling, but I'm wearing a sombrero and totally regular black dude clothes. Is that offensive? I feel like it shouldn't be offensive, but I feel like it definitely is offensive. Like, I don't think you can wear a sombrero and not be Latin and it not feel like you're making fun of Latin folks. Like, it's impossible, well, right? And I think it's the hat's fault because it's slightly silly, right? Because it's so big.
Well, it's goofy, right? Like, it would be like I had a sun hat, or as I used to ignorantly call them, a rice hat, that I got at one of my weeb conventions in D.C.
Wait, like the one that's like this? Like that Bruce like Leroy one?
Like I'm the Thunder God Raiden, yes.
Yo, come on. Wow.
But look, I didn't wear it outside of the confines of that weeb convention, right?
Nah, yo, you can't. I mean, if you Google rice hat, it does come up.
Well, then Google's a fucking racist because I don't think you're supposed to call them rice hats.
My guess is no. My guess is no, you're not.
So I will call them like Asian sun hats or triangle hats. Yeah, yo, you Google rice hat and you Google image the shit. Yo, this is an ignorant ass picture, yo.
Yeah, it's like mad white people wearing this, yo. It's like mad white people wearing it on, yo. Nah, that's unacceptable. That's not cool. Yo, Amazon has a funny party hat, Asian hat with a white woman wearing it. Yo, that's really wow.
Yeah, nah, yo, yeah. Nah. It's called an Asian conical hat.
So nah, yo, not according to Amazon. It's called a rice paddy hat because that's what they wear when they work in the rice paddies. Yo, that's offensive, yo.
So yes, yep. I used to be that offensive ass person, and then I realized, yo, this is not cool, yo. Like this ain't it. So I got rid of it.
Sounds like you a coward. Yeah, you could. I just sent you another suggested item that was next to this rice patty hat that you had. I'm gonna need you to open that.
Yo, come on. Yo, Amazon, what are you doing?
Yo, it's a Chinese emperor costume hat with a fucking braid and beard. Yo, like, this is offensive as fuck. It's only $14.99, which is a good deal.
Nah.
Wow, yo.
Look at this white man cheesing it up. Look at this white woman cheesing it up. Oh, my God, dude. Yo,
this is mad offensive.
The braid is attached to the hat, yo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Come on, yo. Come on. I can't. Nah, yo. Nah. As I get older, man, like, I realize I did some stupid fucking shit. Not even when I was young, yo.
Yeah,
like,
nah,
this was like 15 years ago.
Nah, yo. You were definitely old enough to know better. Yo, that hat is 100% unacceptable. And nah, this Chinese beard and like emperor hat, yo, like like, really, dude? This is what we're doing. That's
holy shit, man.
Nah. Wow. Wow. Cool. All right. Go ahead, y'all. Do your thing. All right. I think that is it for us for this episode of Airing Your Grievances. We will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Wow.
Really?